And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Monday, January 22nd, 2018, start of a brand new week, getting on toward the end of the month here. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. It's been a very busy news day. It's been a very busy news weekend. So we're going to get right into it. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. Now, quick little technical note, BAM user went away over the weekend. They've changed their business model. They used to provide streaming services for websites like mine, and they have basically changed their model where they're specializing now in corporate communication, where corporations are streaming video for teleconferencing. And so over the weekend, I went through this whole process of setting up YouTube streaming, which involved a completely different encoder, setting up a separate channel on my YouTube account, and all of that, and could not get the video player that was embedded in the website to work. And it took me a long time to finally track down that YouTube recently changed its policy so that only accounts that are being monetized are allowed to embed the video player. And of course, YouTube does not allow whatreallyhappened.com to be monetized. So unfortunately, instead of having the player right there on the main screen or right there in the chat room, you have to click a link that takes you to the streaming page at YouTube itself. Frankly, this whole video streaming thing has become a lot more trouble than it's worth. And I'd like people to maybe write on in as to whether they think I should keep the video going or not, because it's just my face day after day after day. You all know what I look like. And if you don't, go down to the post office and check out the wanted posters. So getting on into the news here, obviously Friday, the government shut down. The bad news is they restarted it this morning. They were able to get enough votes to get past the Democratic filibuster. And so they've reached a budget deal, but it's only a 3-week spending bill that will fund the government until February 8th. And what's going on in the backstory is the Democrats are literally trying to hold the government hostage to get their amnesty for illegal immigrants rammed through the Congress. That's basically what they're doing. And so they basically said, okay, 3 weeks of budget, we're going to talk about it. We're going to see if Congress keeps its promise about amnesty for the Dreamers and so forth. This is absurd. This is going to backfire on the Democrats horribly. And I know they're counting on the illegal immigrants to help win certain elections across the country. But everybody's going to remember the Democrats shut down the government over the illegal immigrant issue. And that means to the Democrats, the illegal immigrants are more important than the legal citizens. To the Democrats, the illegal immigrants were more important than our military personnel, who were going to have to go without pay. To the Democrats, the illegal immigrants were more important than all those federal government workers who were going to have to go without pay. And when we get closer to the November election and when we get into 2020, we need to remind everybody that's what was going on, that they were out there willing to basically abandon the entire country, hold it to hostage so they can have more illegal immigrants come on in and vote Democratic here. So apparently Chuck Schumer's actually admitted on tape back in 2013 how the Democrats had a strategy to take the government hostage with a shutdown unless the Democrats get their way with the immigration issue. So this has been going on for a very, very long time. The Democrats are literally taking this country, which was built by generation after generation of the American people, and they're bartering that which they do not own to the illegal immigrants in exchange for more votes. Elections don't get more dishonest than that. Now, on the subject of immigration, and they're out there saying, oh, if you're against the illegal immigrants, you're being racist. No, we're not. Illegal is not a race. But it's time to turn some of the Democrats' liberals' logic back on top of themselves. In that whole gun debate, the Democrats are constantly saying that if banning all guns saves just one life, it is worth it. Okay, well, if banning all illegal immigrants saves just one life, that's worth it. So we need to use their own logic against them. Not that liberals have a close association with logical thinking, but it's something that we can do here. But basically, the Democrats chose the illegal aliens over the rest of us by forcing the government shut down. Even CNN is saying this is a huge gamble for the Democrats. The voters might not forget what the Democrats just did. And if I have anything to say about it come November and 2020, they're not going to forget about it. Rob Reiner, actor, not a politician, not known for intellectual accomplishment, basically yesterday said that the government shutdown is actually part of a race war over what he calls the browning of America. And he says it's all about racism. The GOP is frightened to death of the browning of America. And he goes on to basically describe this as a new civil war. It's amazing. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. China has observed that this latest shutdown shows that the U.S. government is in chaos. It's chronically flawed. They're absolutely right. The government has become so corrupt and so politicized. They're not taking care of the nation. The Democrats just proved that. They were willing to let the nation just slide off the rails to get their way on immigration. And what they're probably going to be thinking now is that if legal American citizens are going to turn away from the Democrats have this debacle, well, we'd better just get that many more of those illegal immigrants in here to make sure that we win the next election. By the way, there was a report over the weekend from the Immigration Customs Enforcement people. Saying that they have observed that as illegal immigrants are just pouring across the border, somebody is arranging for them to get on planes and be flown throughout the United States. Same thing they were doing with the refugees. They're just saying these chartered flights and no identification, nobody knows who they are. I'm willing to bet these illegal immigrants are being flown to voting districts that currently have a slight GOP majority of voters, in order to flip them the other way. I think that's what they're going. Now, let's get on to the FISA memo. People are just going back and forth. They're fighting about this. 65 Republican lawmakers are calling for the immediate release of the FISA memo. Apparently, whatever's in there is so shocking. The memo itself is currently locked in a room under guard to make sure that nothing happens to it, although I'm sure there's still another copy of it over there in the Congressional Committee. Now, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff is saying the FISA memo should stay secret because Americans won't understand it. In other words, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff thinks you're all morons. He thinks you're idiots. He thinks you are too stupid to read this memo and decide for yourself what it actually means. And he's out there denouncing the Twitter campaign released the memo saying it's not ordinary Americans. Ordinary Americans don't care. It's all those Russian bots. It's those Russian Twitter bots. They're the only ones pushing for the memo to be released. They are getting desperate. One of the problems, though, is that there are several Republicans, rhinos, Republican in name only, who are trying to help the Democrats keep this memo locked away from you, the American people. So Republican Peter King is now out there saying this memo should not be released due to concerns over national security. Actually, I think it's his own security that he's worried about when Americans find out just how rogue the entire machinery of the federal government went during the Obama administration and possibly before that Bush. So that's what they're really scared about right now. Now, an ex-Secret Service agent is out there saying that his name is Dan Bongino, and he's saying that this FISA memo is so damning that Obama will have just two options. One is to claim he didn't know anything at all about what was going on. Remember how when the Tea Party scandal first came on out, he got up there and said, I only heard about it on TV, and nobody bought that one. And, of course, the other option is that he's going to go to jail. A lot of people are going to go to jail. This could be the beginning of the end of a lot of careers of very, very corrupt people. And more information is coming on out. apparently a lot of it is now focusing on this Peter Strzok's text messages. And apparently one of them now suggests that Loretta Lynch knew Comey was going to exonerate Hillary long before the investigation was really underway. It was just decided ahead of time between Lynch and Comey. Yeah, we can't do anything to Hillary Clinton. She knows where all the bodies are buried. She'll bring down the entire government unless we leave her alone. So, yeah, it was just, again, the government protecting itself. And apparently they knew all about this before the three-hour interview with Clinton, which, by the way, was in her home and not under oath. One of the quotes that really angers me coming from Peter Strzok and reveals the thinking inside the deep state is he actually tested Lisa Page saying, "We can't let the American people pick the next president. We need a backup plan." He called it an insurance policy. Yeah, actually, you're supposed to let the American people pick the president. That's the way it's supposed to work. So what they were trying to do was a coup d'etat, usurpation of our political process. Story coming out of Blacklisted News. Apparently, a former federal prosecutor sat down with a Daily Caller and gave an interview. And this is Joe DiGenova, former special counsel, who went after both the Teamsters and former New York Governor Spitzer. And he's out there saying that there was this brazen plot to exonerate Hillary Clinton for all the real crimes she's done and to frame Donald Trump for this bogus Russian collusion story. And it's unraveling. It's starting to unravel. I would like to see that happen. We're in a very, very dangerous time right now. We could start seeing a lot of wet work. Now, Paul Craig Roberts is out there basically providing the overview, saying that this FISA memo, it involves the NSA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the FISA court itself. Basically, all of these agencies and all the people at the top of these agencies committing treason at the highest level. And he says right now the NSA is actually being used to try and dig up dirt on members of the House and Senate in order to coerce their conformity in terms of not going after the crimes of the security agencies. And apparently this blackmail mechanism was put into gear the minute the news reported that the House Intelligence Committee had assembled proof that the FBI, DOJ, and DNC created Russiagate as a conspiracy to unseat President Trump. Now, I doubt that last one. I imagine the NSA has been digging dirt on members of our political system, corporate leaders, for a lot longer than that. When J. Edgar Hoover was head of the FBI, he was known for his special private files because he was always having FBI agents digging up blackmail information. He even blackmailed John F. Kennedy at one point. And when Hoover died or was assassinated, those files disappeared. Nobody knows who got them. Now, apparently, the FBI has come on out and said that it has lost 5 months of the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, which were under subpoena. And golly, they were just here a minute ago. Yeah, no, it's a big place over here at the FBI. They just got lost. The only problem is the FBI is lying. Because last August, the Department of Justice's Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, reported receiving the texts in question. A lot of forgetful people over there at the FBI. And these lost FBI texts could form the basis for a motion to dismiss against the Russia probe, along with what's in the FISA memo. So they just lost it. They just lost it. Remember back when the Obama State Department claimed that a glitch was responsible for deleting several minutes of incriminating evidence from a press briefing where an Obama administration spokesman admitted to a Fox News reporter that the administration was lying about the Iran deal? Ooh, there was a glitch. You know, nothing serious here. It just happens all the time here. Well, the glitch has struck again because the National Security Agency has destroyed surveillance data it pledged to preserve in connection with pending lawsuits. So they're, everybody's losing the stuff. Everybody is losing stuff. Okay. Apparently, some of the material lost by the FBI, misplaced by the FBI, was related to that meeting on the tarmac between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch. And, of course, not a word about this on the corporate media. The corporate media is all about to shut down. They're apparently doing the final vote to end the shutdown. And nothing about the war zones. We were noticing that over the weekend. You have to look at that little tiny crawl at the bottom with a magnifying glass to find out that Turkey's invaded Syria and is fighting U.S.-backed forces. The media is also continuing to downplay, if not outright bury, the indictments in the Clinton-Obama Uranium One Russia deal. Now, there was real collusion, provable collusion. And we're seeing the entire deep state circle the wagons around Hillary Clinton, not because they love her, but because if all of these scandals come on out, it's going to unravel all the way back to Arkansas in the 1980s and the gun running and the drug running and all of that corruption. And I can't imagine the American people sitting still for that once they're forced to confront that reality. Now, speaking of Arkansas in the 1980s, back in 1985, there was a housekeeper in the governor's mansion, Marcia Ann Bosley, and she was let go from the staff for undisclosed reasons and just went away. She had no family, and people figured she just moved someplace else and started her life over again. Unfortunately, no. They have found a body in Arkansas wrapped in plastic in a shallow grave, and DNA has identified it as Marcia Ann Bosley and her unborn child. So another candidate for the dead bodies list. Two more up in Canada, Barry and Honey Sherman. Now, they were found last month hanging side by side, and it was immediately announced, oh, murder-suicide. No reason. They're billionaires. They're very rich. But yeah, it had to be a murder-suicide. Well, apparently, the Sherman family hired their own team of investigators who found a lot of evidence, and now the Canadian officials are acknowledging that Barry and Honey Sherman were murdered in their home by multiple perpetrators. There was just a whole bunch of evidence that was missed in the original rush to judgment. Now, here's where it gets interesting. This billionaire, Barry Sherman, got rich with a pharmaceutical company that was selling medications to the Bill, Hillary, and whatever her name is, Clinton Foundation. Now, remember, the Clinton Foundation got rocked with their AIDS project. When it came on out, the AIDS drugs that were being supposedly being sent out to the third world in exchange for all these donations were seriously watered down to the point of complete ineffectiveness. So what did Barry know that was such a threat? If you would like to support Republic Broadcasting, keep us on the air. The postal address to send a check or a money order is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you would like to call on in and pledge to be a recurring subscriber, that number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. Now, getting on back to the issue of Haiti, which there now appears to be a Clinton Foundation. And yes, I remember her name is Chelsea. Stop sending me emails. There's been a lot of talk about just how badly the Clinton Foundation basically screwed Haiti. They collected a huge amount of money for Haitian relief, and very little of it actually got down to the ground level in Haiti. A lot of it was spent building luxury resorts that were then sold off. Apparently, there was one big scandal where there was a building contractor who supposedly was going to build a whole bunch of new houses, didn't build them. It was just corruption from top to bottom. And so now the corporate media is out there trying to say, there's no big deal about Haiti. Look, they're all fine down there. Conan O'Brien went down to Haiti and he stayed at one of the fancy resorts over the weekend to prove that President Trump is wrong over his alleged blank hole comments. And he's out there saying Haiti is truly a beautiful country. And he tweeted with a picture of himself sipping from a coconut while wading in the ocean. Now, yes, when you're at a luxury resort, it looks really good. But that's not the whole country. You can't judge the whole country by it. I learned that firsthand. Many years ago, during my first marriage, I took my then wife down to this resort called Losadas in Mexico. And they picked us up in a bus at the airport and they drove us through Guadalajara. And boy, that really qualifies as a blank hole. And then, of course, we got to the resort and it was absolutely gorgeous. You could see it in Google Earth. For those of you old enough to remember the movie 10 with Bo Derek, that's the beach resort. That's Losadas. So Conan O'Brien, definitely, I mean, he's at a luxury resort. He's on the beach sipping from a coconut. And he says, yeah, Haiti's beautiful here. Now, Anderson Cooper took a different approach, saying that Haiti is rich because of its culture and its history. So they're really out there just pushing this idea that nothing bad has happened to Haiti outside of the hurricane itself. All right, let's look at the war zones. There is a lot going on, and of course, the world's attention right now is focused on Afrin in Syria. Turkey has pushed across the border in a lot of places, but the focus is on Afrin. Over 150 Kurdish positions have been destroyed, and the Turkey-backed militias capture their first region. They've already started removing the Kurds from some of the land they've been occupying. And apparently there's a tough battle underway in the village of Shinkal in the Raju region in Afrin. Adding the Kurdish fighters have thus far targeted and destroyed two Turkish tanks in the village of Shiran near Afrin. Gee, I wonder where the Kurds are getting anti-tank weapons. That sounds very interesting. Now, last week, when somebody was asking me, what is Russia going to do? And I said, I expect that Russia will basically back off and let this be between Turkey and Syria in order to avoid a potential confrontation with the United States and an escalation. And that's basically what they've done. The Russian Ministry of Defense has ordered all Russian military out of Afrin, Syria. They're just going to sit back and let the Syrian forces deal with this. Now, there's another report saying that the Kurds have destroyed five Turkish tanks. They may be fibbing. Truth is the first casualty of any war anyway. And again, that issue, where are they getting the weapons? Well, the U.S. is still supplying arms to Kurds. They said they were going to stop. They haven't stopped. And that's why the Turkish jets hit Manak Air Base, which is being used by the United States to bring in weapons to give to the Kurds. And I can imagine that Turkey is not happy about U.S. support for the Kurds. I can imagine that Syria is not very happy about what's going on with U.S. support for the Kurds. In fact, Russia has come on out and said that it is the U.S. unilateral actions in Syria that provoked Turkey to take direct action. And yes, the U.S. has been mucking about in other people's countries for 16 years, and they're getting tired of it. And getting on back to the situation between Turkey and Syria, Turkey's ex-foreign minister, Yasser Yakis, in an interview with Russia Today, said basically what has caused this crisis is that the United States did break their promise to stop arming the Kurds. And Washington basically announced they were going to cut off supplies and support to Kurdish militias. They didn't. And that's what's triggered this crisis, along with, of course, another reminder to the world that you cannot trust anything the United States government says. Now, apparently, along with anti-tank weapons, the United States is supplying at least short-range missiles to the Kurds, because some of these missiles have hit Turkish towns near the Syrian border. Casualties are reported. The town of Rahani has been hit with multiple missiles fired from northern Syria. At least one person was killed, 32 others wounded. So this is getting really, really serious. Now, a lot of other countries around the world are saying, let's cool this down. Iran has asked Turkey to just pull back. Egypt is saying they don't agree with what's going on over there. But Erdogan is out there saying Turkey will not take a step back in the Afrin operation. So the next question is going to be, what is Syria going to do? We know Russia's stepping back. What is Syria going to do? They've made a lot of talk about opposing the Turkish forces coming on in. But again, Syria would like the Kurdish problem solved. And they may just kind of hang on back. Assad may just figure that once the Kurds are dealt with, Erdogan will return to his side of the border with Turkey, and there won't be any need to do anything. I'm sure Assad is reluctant to actually go to war with Turkey. Now, technically, because the United States is backing those Kurds, we have two NATO member countries fighting against each other in Syria. And that's a very chaotic situation. Now, apparently today, the United Nations Security Council is taking up the discussion about what's going on in Syria. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of a resolution they come up with. And more interesting to see who decides they're going to veto it. Apparently, France requested this emergency meeting of the UN Security Council. Now, turning over to Ukraine. Interesting story from Russia Insider, the coming big war in Ukraine. And basically, they go on to say that the United States really has been humiliated in Syria by the nearly complete military victory of Assad forces with substantial Russian air assistance. And the concern now is that the United States is looking to start something in Ukraine as a form of vengeance on Russia. And that may be closer to reality than you might think, because apparently Ukraine is making moves to pull out of the Minsk Accords. And right now, because everybody's looking at Syria, nobody's really keeping a watch on Ukraine, and they should be. Now, here's an interesting story about what is called blowback, or what goes around comes around. Because now over in Iran, one of their military officials is now asking the international community to support protest rallies inside the United States. This is a payback for the recent riots in Iran, which were found to be backed by outside governments, at least one of which was the United States, and they arrested a bunch of people. So Iran is thinking maybe it's time for the U.S. government to learn what that feels like when other countries are sending in money and support and supplies to cause political unrest. Not that we don't have enough of our own. And by the way, do you remember back in 1981, was right after the Iranian Revolution that kicked out the U.S. puppet ruler, the Shah, and the United States made a promise. This is a direct quote. The United States pledges that it is, and from now on, will be the policy of the United States not to intervene directly or indirectly, politically or militarily, in Iran's internal affairs. Yet another whopper of a lie from the swamp. We're going to take a phone call now from Steve Elkins. Steve, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind? Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes, you're on
the
air.
You were mentioning the U.S.'s word meaning nothing, holding no credibility and standing by your word. And it brought up that the conversation, the article actually on RBN about Trump holding aid to Palestine, and I wanted to get your comment on that.
Well, this is Donald Trump basically punishing Palestine for being unhappy with his declaration of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And apparently Mike Pence is over in Israel right now, and he's seeing firsthand how angry some of the people are over there. I think it was a dumb thing to do because that money allowed the United States to exert some control over the Palestinian government. And now the Palestinian government is saying, keep your money. We're just going to go our own way now. So that situation is edging closer to chaos.
Yeah, it really is. You know, on RBN website, there's a, you probably saw that video that somebody had a GoPro camera on their bike and they rode through a homeless camp, miles and miles of homelessness in Anaheim, California. And I started thinking, yes, saw that, those pictures, that video, and I started thinking about the Palestinian people who've been living like this for a lot longer than these people in Anaheim. And it really, really breaks my heart. And then I saw that article where Trump had reneged on the offer of how much millions of dollars that would have gone to Palestine to help these people that are who are living just like this, these 10 cities in Anaheim, just like this.
Yes, it is. It's very, very ugly. And homelessness in general is ugly. There's also a video on YouTube where somebody put a GoPro on a bicycle and they did the bike path that goes around Pearl Harbor, all three locks. And there's a huge homeless population down there. Same thing. Tent after tent after box shanty after tent. And it's terrible the Palestinians are having to live like that. It's also terrible that Americans are having to live like that. And we're going to be talking a bit more about that when we get to the economic part of the show.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Hi. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go. Okay. Now, a little bit of good news out of Germany. The German government declared last Friday it will immediately stop approving arms exports to anyone participating in the war in Yemen, including Saudi Arabia. And that's a big deal because Saudi Arabia is a major buyer of German weapons. So Germany's actually showing some spine on that a little bit. Meanwhile, probably you haven't even heard this yet, apparently there are border clashes between India and Pakistan now. Tensions are increasing. Both sides are accusing each other of border violations. And apparently nearly a dozen civilians have been killed since the first of the year. So that is also ramping up. And the danger there, of course, is that both India and Pakistan have nuclear missiles. So getting on down to Israel, Mike Pence is there, and he was giving a speech before the Israeli parliament, and he was interrupted when Arab lawmakers stood up holding signs that read, Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. And this resulted literally in a fight among the members of Knesset, and these Arab politicians were removed from the building. But things are not going smoothly over there in Israel for Mike Pence. And it's getting even more interesting because Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas was at a meeting in Brussels, and the European Union's foreign policy chief is assuring him the European Union backs a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. And see, there's the dichotomy. Palestine is willing to share the city with Israel. Israel doesn't want that. They want it all. They want Palestine to just dry up and blow away. Okay, so let's talk about the economic news, and California, liberal haven, absolutely, you know, the liberal nirvana, if you will. California's poverty rate has now topped 20%, nearly twice the national average. And by the way, if you look at standard of living and poverty rates all across America, you will find that wherever liberals are in control, conditions are much worse. There may be a few exceptions, but as a general rule, it does tend to fit. Okay, 87% of all the wealth created last year went to the top 1%. 82% of the wealth went to the top 1%. It's a combination of trying to do everything by interest-bearing debt, along with these completely outrageous executive salaries and bonuses. But the wealth inequality has reached a crisis point in this country. You can't have all the money piled up at the top. The economy can't survive that. The economy requires a solid, prosperous middle class who are able to trade their labor and skills for decent wages and salaries so they can go down to the shopping malls and buy the products these corporations are selling. And we don't have that anymore. The middle class is evaporating. All the stores are talking about going to robot cashiers and robot clerks, just throwing people out of work. The economy cannot survive this path. And yet nobody seems to have the courage to stand up and say, we're on a bad path. We're on a path to eventual economic collapse. There's no way you can sustain this going this direction. All righty. Now then, over in Europe, things are really heating up regarding the European Union. And apparently over in Italy, their population is shifting toward populism and nationalism. And of course, that's going to be a major headache for the European Union, which is still trying to glue everything back together, still trying to find a way to undo the Brexit, trying to talk some of these other countries. I mean, so many of the EU countries are talking about referendums to redefine the border situation, if not to outright leave. And the globalists and the liberals are still out there with utter nonsense. Now, over in Germany, there's a socialist minister, Nicole Hawks, and responding to the crisis of rapes that are going on in Germany right now, she had a wonderful solution. Let's just bring in more migrants. There aren't enough female migrants. We need to bring in more female migrants, and then that will make the rape crisis go away. Somehow, I rather doubt it. Now, up in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam, there was a protest on Saturday, basically demanding a halt to immigration. At this point, it's very obvious. The ordinary people of Europe want this to stop. And the politicians, for whatever reason, they're being bribed. They support the New World Order. They're on Soros payroll. For whatever reason, they're still forcing through this open borders policy. Look how hard the Democrats are trying to keep the borders open in this country. They literally shut down the government of the United States of America over this issue. I think the globalists are afraid the wheels are coming off of the New World Order, both because of the economic predations and because of the backlash from immigration. And so their solution is to just push as hard as they can, keep pushing as hard as they can until they accomplish what they think they want to accomplish. But people are pushing back, and they ought to. There's nothing wrong with being proud of your nation and wanting the best for your nation. It's just a larger version of loving your family and taking care of your family before you take care of anybody else. That's just common sense. Now, apparently up in Sweden, the migrant crime situation has gotten out of hand. They're dealing with a lot of gang violence, and apparently it's triggered a rush of vigilante squads who are now basically roaming the streets with rifles. Okay. Oh, let's see. We've got a caller waiting on the line. Francis in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, aloha to you both, snack bar and everything.
Thank you.
And a continuous speedy recovery as well. As far as Shumi Boy is concerned, up in the District of Criminals is concerned, you know, unless he proclaims himself as God in the District of Criminals, thus declaring that he can decide what people should or should not see or hear, he needs to come out with the memo and what it's about and so forth. Because if it's that explosive, guess what? The cat's already out the bag. You might as well go ahead and come clean with it.
Well, we suspect what's in there, and this memo makes it official, an official conclusion of the U.S. government. One thing you need to be aware of, somebody has already put on out what purports to be a leaked copy of the memo, but it's completely bogus. They're already out there trying to muddy up the waters and keep everything confused.
Well, I'll give you that. I mean, I'm coming across different notation about, oh, this memo was released about this or about that, and I'm thinking, oh, for Pete's sake, come on, people. stop wasting electrons doing that garbage. So if they really want to present themselves as being honorable by the people and working for the people, then get their act together. The people are not stupid. I mean, a lot of people may be have allowed themselves to become mentally challenged or conditioned, but a majority of people are a lot clear-headed than that and can handle the truth of what's going on. So let it be known whatever's going on, and let the dice roll like they are.
I absolutely agree, and I've just found out apparently the links I have to go to the YouTube streaming page for my show is incorrect unless you're logged in as me, so I got to find the new address and get that in there. I only got two complaining emails, so it doesn't look like anybody's really watching the streaming video. I think I may just take that out. You all know what I look like. Getting on back to Francis in North Carolina, you need to understand what's going on. With the election of Donald Trump, okay, the deep state lost their complete control over the country. Up until Trump, the deep state was calling all the shots. They were picking all the politicians and the candidates. They had complete control over what was going on, and they could get away with doing whatever they felt like getting away with, spying on the American people, ignoring the Constitution, wet work, and the rest of it. But with Donald Trump's victory, they went into a panic. They still have a lot of control, but it's not complete and not total. And that's why they're just on this rampage trying to get Donald Trump out of the White House and get somebody in there who can be relied upon to go along with continuing the cover-ups of the deep state. That's why this FISA memo has become such a firebrand. And the deep state's going to be doing absolutely everything that they can to either block it from the American people, or failing that, to somehow undermine its credibility. And like I said, already there's a bogus document circulating that claims to be the leaked memo. But if you read the way it's written, it's very clearly not an official government document.
Well, true. Whether you call it a firebrand or a hot potato, they just don't want to handle for that matter, and thus it got locked away for that matter. My observation is this. It's apparent that, of course, a lot of people are going to think that, well, I'm disparaging on millennials. If that's the case, then fine, so be it. I take no offense to that. Apparently, a lot of young folks that are millennials or whatever, they're so tied up with their electronic toys, ad nauseum and whatever have you, they're going to be unconcerned about this in general. If it doesn't help them in any way, they're not going to worry about it. However, my question would be is this. Who authored the memo to start with? Who wrote it? Who wrote it to begin with? Who submitted it to begin with? That this has created such a firestorm that they want to keep it under lock and key, or high intense security, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, apparently this four-page memo represents the conclusions of a Department of Justice investigation, so it probably had multiple authors. You know, that put in all the notes and they assembled it, then it was reformatted and sent on over to Congress under classification because the contents apparently were deemed something that needed to be under control. But you have all these members of Congress who are out there saying, no, the American people have every right to see this. And, of course, the Democrats are out there saying this is just another attempt to undermine the Russia investigation.
Well, they can say all they want to, but the point is that depending on what those individuals and the DOJ had done to pull all this information together, if they are looking for it to be their, a redeeming quality on their behalf.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.